Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you that you purposely made sure it arrived here for us today. God, you allowed through thousands of years for these letters and these things that were recorded to make it to us intact. And Lord, it wasn't without a purpose. And so, Father, today we just trust that you're going to nurture us through your word. We trust that you're going to shape us and change us by it and cause us to be more like you. And Lord, as we read it, as we study it, God, I pray that the blessing in it would just be something that's rich in our lives today. Lord, we pray that you'd be glorified by all that's said and all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you will, let's look at Luke chapter 18 this morning. And we're going to start in the 18th verse. And this is what it has to say there. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It says, "Now a certain ruler asked him," him being Jesus, "saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All of these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.'" And as we look at this young man's life, you know, we see several things about him in this short passage of Scripture. There are some things that we notice about him, and there are some things that certainly Jesus' disciples who were witnessing this encounter firsthand would have been noticing about this man. And in the context of the time that he lived, the first thing that I noticed that's very important is that this man would have appeared to be a very, very good guy. I mean, when you look at him from the outside, this guy had to have been a great guy. And you stop and you look at his life and you think who he must have been. I mean, this man, what we know about him is that he was extremely wealthy. Okay, this was a man who had everything. And when he came to Jesus, he was coming to him and he was asking him how he could have eternal life, essentially. He was asking how he could be a part of the kingdom of God. And so as he is asking this question, he's coming and Jesus' disciples are sitting and they're looking. And I bet they were almost sitting on the edge of their seats because they're waiting for Jesus to tell this guy the key to everything he'd need to know about entering into the kingdom of God. And Jesus kind of threw their little world upside down for a minute. Because how many of you realize that in Jesus' day, if a man had great wealth, he was considered to be highly blessed by God? I mean, in our day, we kind of think that way a little, even though we don't say it. But in Jesus' day and age, if somebody was extremely wealthy, man, God must really love them because he's blessed them. They must be great people. They must do everything right because God has found no cause to curse them. And on the reverse side of that, if somebody had been, you know, in poverty, if somebody had been diseased, you know, people would have looked at them and said, well, what did they do that God would have cursed them in this way? What would they have done that angered God so much that he would have, you know, cursed them with this poverty that they're in? And Jesus takes this whole situation and he kind of, you know, messes with people's minds a little bit. And he says, you know, how hard is it for somebody who's rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It was kind of a confusing statement to make. And, you know, as we read a little bit further in a minute, we're going to find that Jesus' disciples were very confused by this. One thing I want to point out as well before we go there, though, is this. We also kind of get a picture of who this guy was from Mark's account of this same passage. And, you know, the story is pretty much the same. We find it in Mark chapter 10 and the 21st verse. or I'm sorry, the 21st verse. And what we find is this. You know, we've already heard this whole thing. The man comes, he's telling Jesus, what do I have to do? And Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. And the part that really sticks out to me is Jesus' response to him. It says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Okay, and how many of you know that when a Pharisee came and tried to trip Jesus up with some clever way of speaking, Jesus didn't look at them and love them for that, right? When somebody came and they were trying to manipulate him, he didn't look at them and love them. And what I think this passage tells us is that the man who came to Jesus, his heart was good because Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him because of what was in his heart. And yet, even though Jesus looked at him and loved him, he didn't say, oh, just don't do anything. He was looking at this man's life and he was identifying some areas that needed to change if he was ever going to really enter into the kingdom of God. And so as we look at this, we know this man, you know, he looked good on the outside and he was probably really good on the inside as well. This man, you know, to every appearance that we have, seems to be a pretty good guy. And as we talked a minute ago, Jesus' disciples were kind of confused, and we're going to take a look at this. Verse 25, I'm just going to go back and read. Actually, yeah, verse 25. And Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, and he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, Who then can be saved? And Jesus' disciples, again, they're looking at this great guy, this really good guy, and they're saying, well, if this man can't be saved, who can? If your riches can't do it for you, if the blessings that God has placed on your life can't save you, who can be saved? If this man we're looking at, if he can't be saved, who can be saved? And I love Jesus' response. He tells them that, you know, there are things that are impossible with man, but that are possible with God. So we see that this man appears to be a good guy. The second thing that we notice about this man is that he recognized that Jesus was good. He wasn't out looking at Jesus and saying, man, I wonder who this guy is. He'd already made a decision in his heart about who Jesus was. And the decision he had made in his heart was that Jesus was good. He was something worth having. He was something worth having as a part of your life. And yet what we find is that this man wouldn't give up everything for something he only considered to be good. And yet, think about it this way. You're going out, you're going to buy a car, okay? And you go down to the local whatever dealership that you want to go to, and you find this nice car. And it's a good car. Are you going to go and sell your house, sell your motorcycle, sell all your other things, and run down to the car dealership and purchase this good car? Probably not. Why? Because it's just good. Okay, this car isn't worth everything that you have, is it? Because it's just good. It's a nice car. You'd like to drive the car, but it's only good. You're not going to give everything for something you only perceive to be good. You just won't. And yet, as we read this passage, this man is coming and he's saying, well, I know that Jesus is good. And when I read this as I was preparing for this morning, there were a couple of parables that came back to my mind. And I want to take a minute and look at those this morning. If you would, let's look at Matthew chapter 13. And the first of the two parables we're going to look at is found in verse 44. And this is what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like a treasure, a great treasure that's worth everything to you. And so you find it and, you know, it's buried in a field and you go, you sell everything you've got, so that you can purchase that field, so that you can have what is inside. And when it comes to our relationship with Christ, it needs to be that way. How many of you know that your relationship with Christ isn't something that you add to your life? Okay? It's not an accessory that you buy for your life. Okay? It's not something that you wrap around your life. When you come to Christ, when you begin to live the way that Jesus has for us to live, He's not a part of your life. He becomes your life. Okay? In fact, when you enter into the kingdom of God, really what you're doing is you're dying. Okay? And I know that's a morbid thought a little bit, but entering the kingdom is an act of dying. And what you're dying to is your flesh. You're dying to yourself. You're dying to your own will. And what happens is you come alive in Christ. And from that point forward, it's no longer, "Hi, my name is Jake, and, well, yeah, I'm a Christian on Sunday." Okay? It's, "Hi, my name is Jake, and the life I live for Christ." It's not something you add on. It's something that you take everything and you count it loss to have Him. Okay, and that's the story that we're hearing about in this parable. And that's what this man that we read about a minute ago is missing. He doesn't understand that you don't just add this thing to your life. It has to become who you are. The second parable that I want to look at this morning, it's found in verse 45, right after this one. And this is what it says. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." And the man that we just read about, he had found a pearl of great price. He just made a different decision about what to do with it. I mean, he came, and how many of you know that Jesus' value and the value of his kingdom, it wasn't diminished because this man chose to walk away. Okay, he had found a pearl of great price. He had found something worth everything. And unlike the person in the parable we just read, he decided that the cost was too great. And I want you to understand, serving God involves counting some costs. Serving God involves some sacrifice a lot of times. And you've got to make a choice to make that sacrifice. If you can't make the choice to make that sacrifice, then you're not going to enjoy what's in the kingdom. That's just the way it is. And this man, as we read in this parable, he finds this pearl of great price, and he goes and he sells everything off because he wants it so much. And for us, that's the way we have to be as we enter into the kingdom and as we live our life for Christ. We've got to come into the kingdom, and we have to do it in a way that says everything else doesn't even matter. I want this one thing. And as we stop and as we look at this man again, what you're going to find as well, the third thing that we really notice about him, is that he placed his trust in his wealth. And probably not just his trust. I mean, certainly he found great security in all the wealth that he had amassed in his lifetime. I mean, how many of you know that wealth brings a lot of security to us in the flesh? It really does. I mean, I don't have a lot of wealth, but I know the little bit I do have, it's very easy to lean on it and to try to find your security in it. And what you're going to find is that in Christ, if you're going to find your security in Him, you've got to be willing to lose your security in everything else. You really do. And that's what we ran into with this man. He found his security in his wealth. He probably even found his identity in his wealth. And yet, when he came to Jesus, it was that one thing that he held to so tightly that cost him everything. And as you stop and you think about it, really what he was doing was he was holding on to temporary things, and he refused to let go of those temporary things to grab onto eternal things. And do you realize that for us, when God blesses us with temporary things, his purpose in it is to use those temporary things for eternal things? I mean, that's really his purpose in us having temporary things. And this man missed the point. I heard a story a while back. There's a man, his name is Rob, and he's back east. He's a guy who I've learned a lot from over the past several years. And he told a story one time about he and his wife and his two boys. They had gone on vacation and they'd gone to the coast. And while they're at the coast, they did what most people do when they go to the coast. And they were walking the beaches and they were collecting shells. Now, I don't know about you, but when I walk the beach and when I collect shells, most of the time the shells I find are bits and pieces of shells, aren't they? You don't find a lot of whole shells on the beach. And so that's pretty much what they're collecting. They're walking the beach. They're collecting these shells. And as they're doing this, Rob looks out and he sees in the surf a starfish that's kind of floating on the wave and, you know, just kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit. And so he looks at his oldest son and he says, "There's a starfish. Run out there, get that starfish." And so his son runs out and he gets a part way out and he stops. And he turns around and he runs back to his mom and his dad. And they're looking at him saying, "Why didn't you get the starfish? Go get the starfish." And so he turns and he runs out further. And this time he probably runs out about to his knees in the water. And he stops and he turns around. He looks at his mom and dad. He's got this frustration in his face. And he runs back to them. And they say, "You got to grab the starfish." And so he turns around again. He runs out maybe waist deep in the water. And this time he turns and he looks at them. And he's almost in tears at this point because he's so frustrated. And they say, "Why don't you get the starfish?" And he looks at him and he's, you know, just so upset. And he says, "I can't get the starfish." And they say, "Why can't you?" And he looks and he says, "Because my hands are full of shells." He had all these shell fragments in his hands. And he couldn't grab a hold of the starfish because he'd have to drop his shells. And when I heard that, it really made me think about how we do the same thing with God a lot of times. I mean, we've got all this broken stuff that we try to hold on to so tightly. And yet, when God wants to give us something really spectacular, he wants to give us something really great, we can't grab a hold of it because we're so busy holding on to our broken shells and the broken pieces and all this stuff that really isn't worth much. And we do the same thing with our relationship with Christ. He asks us to give him those broken pieces so that we can have something great, and yet we won't let go of those broken pieces. And that's exactly the thing that this man was doing. He had so many things in his hands, and he wasn't willing to let them go to grab a hold of the kingdom. And that is a sad thing, but we all do it. Mark chapter 8 teaches us a similar lesson. And as we look at Mark chapter 8, let's look at the 34th verse. These are the words that were recorded there. "When he had called the people to himself," this is Jesus, "with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" And how often is the stuff that we're trying to hold on to that's getting in the way of us in Christ? How many times is that stuff just like those broken shells? And it's just worthless stuff, and yet it comes in between us and something really important. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And again, it was talking about we can't serve God with all of our heart and still serve the systems of this world with all of our heart. You've got to make a choice at some point. And the choice you make really determines everything. And so as we look at this, sometimes we've got to make that decision to let go of what we've got in our hands to grab onto him. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to pick up where we left off there. And as we do, there are two things that I see in there that are really promises to us. And so I want us to grab a hold of these promises. Verse 27 is where we'll pick it up. says, but he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this present time and in the ages to come, or in the age to come, eternal life. And the first thing that we see here, the first promise that I see, is that the things that are impossible with men are going to be possible with God. And the man that we look at here, I mean, really in context, the statement Jesus had made before was, you know, how hard is it for a man to have wealth and yet enter into the kingdom of God? And what you find is that in Christ, even something like that is possible, okay? But I think the possibility of it has to be us shifting our security from those things to him. But the promise we have here is that even though it may be impossible with man, with God, anything is possible. And how many of you love the idea that we are serving a God who's the God of the impossible? He can do things that we can't begin to imagine. He can do things that we can't even start to figure out how to work on. He's that good. And as we stop and as we look at him, it brings us great security to know that we serve a God who is the God of the impossible. The second promise that we look at here is this. God will not be in debt to you. He won't. Okay? God does not run a credit line with our lives. Okay? God's not going to be in debt to you. I mean, when this life is over and when you stop and look back, you're not going to say, well, God, you still owe me this. Right? You're not going to stop and look at it and say, man, well, you promised me this thing and now, well, you never paid up. What's going on? Okay? I mean, the word tells us that God is no man's debtor. And as we realize, some of the decisions that we're going to make to follow him are going to cost us something. Some of the things that you're going to give up to grab a hold of him are going to be things that were important to you. I mean, it talks in the verse we just read about, you know, people giving up houses and giving up parents and brothers and sisters and wives and children and all this stuff that's extremely important. And yet what we're told is that no one who gives these things away is going to have God in debt to them, because they're going to receive many times more. And how many of you, when you hear that, you stop and you think, well, yeah, well, in heaven we're going to have many times more. Okay? How many of you know that's not what the verse just said? Well, you can't see it, but let me read it for you again so you can hear it. Says, so he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time. God's promises in this, as surely as they are for eternity, are for now as well. He's promised to bless us now, and in addition to that blessing, eternal life. And so we can trust that when we make a sacrifice for God, that he's going to pay it back. And how many of you know that God doesn't just pay back a little? He doesn't just give you a little bit back. You know, we're talking about 100-fold reward for the things that we give up for him. And that doesn't mean the sacrifices aren't going to be hard. They wouldn't be a sacrifice if it was. It's not like we're going down to the bank and saying, hey, God, this is what I've got. You give me what you've got right now. And it won't sting as much. Okay? But when we give something to God, he will repay. He's faithful to his word. And when we make a sacrifice for him, we can trust that his word is true. And God is not going to be in debt to us, not in this present time, nor in eternal life. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to take an inventory this morning a little bit. And I want us to think about the things that we've got in our lives. And if you would just go ahead and close your eyes, bow your head with me for a moment. as we pray, I want you to be thinking this morning, what are the things that you have in your hands right now that you're having a hard time letting go of and giving them to God? I just want you to identify those things in yourself. It could be a lot of stuff, but you know what it is for you. Father, this morning we thank you that you are a God who cares about us. And Lord, as we seek after you, as we follow you, Lord, we know that it's not always going to be an easy thing. But just as surely as we know that you are a God who looks out for us and desires to bless us. And so, Lord, today, with the things that we've been holding on to, God, I pray that you just give us the strength to let those things go. Lord, as we let them go, we're not letting them go for anything other than you and for your kingdom. And Lord, as we do that, we trust your word that we've read today that tells us that there's a blessing here for us in this present age, as well as eternal life. Father, we don't want to be like this rich young man that we've read about today who had the pearl of great price right in his hands. He had it right in front of him. And yet, when he counted the cost, he counted that cost too high, and he walked away sorrowful. Father, for us, we want you to have everything of us so that we can have everything in you. And so, Lord, today we just ask that you'd give us the strength to do that, because it's not an easy thing all the time. Father, this morning we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the things that you're going to accomplish in us through it. This morning, if you're here and you've never made a commitment to live your life for Christ, or maybe you have and you just want to recommit your life to him, I want you to pray this prayer after me, and we're just going to have everybody pray out loud with us so that it's not an uncomfortable or awkward thing. But just repeat this after me. Father, I know that you're the pearl of great price. And today I choose to give everything for you. I know I've had sin in my life. Today I repent of that and ask you to be glorified in my life. Father, I pray that everything I do would bring glory and honor to you. Father, give me the strength to walk this walk. I offer you the broken pieces. And I thank you for giving me something whole. In Jesus' name. Amen.